I want to read, first of all, in the Paul's epistle to the Galatians, chapter 2. It's on page 1405 here. I want to read just the end of verse 20 of chapter 2. Galatians, chapter 2, and the end of verse 20. The Son of God, who has loved me and given himself for me. Now in the book of the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 26, page 1342, chapter 26 of Acts and verse 8. Why should it be judged a thing incredible in your sight if God raises the dead? I indeed myself thought that I ought to do much against the name of Jesus the Nazarene, which also I did in Jerusalem, and myself shut up in prisons many of the saints, having received the authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my vote, often punishing them in all the synagogues. I compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly furious against them, I persecuted them even to cities out of our own land. And when engaged in this, I was journeying to Damascus with authority and power from the chief priests. At midday, on the way, I saw, O King, a light above the brightness of the sun, shining from heaven round about me and those who were journeying with me. And when we were all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against goats. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise up and stand on thy feet, for this purpose have I appeared to thee, to appoint thee to be a servant and a witness, both of what thou hast seen and of what I shall appear to thee in, taking thee out from among the people and the nations to whom I send thee, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive remission of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. Finally, just a verse in Timothy's second epistle, page 1442. 2 Timothy and chapter 4 and verse 6. For I am already being poured out, and the time of my release is come. I have combated the good combat. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth the crown of righteousness is laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will render to me in that day, but not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. I thought quite a bit about this verse in Galatians, or this half a verse, the Son of God who has loved me and given himself for me. I think Paul thought about that an awful lot. I'll come back to it later, but that's sort of my text for this evening. I referred to the passage in the book of the Acts because Paul is speaking there about what happened to him as a man. We know that Luke gives us an account by the Spirit earlier on of what actually happened. And twice Paul gives us an account himself of his conversion when he's standing before the authorities of the day. This is his second account, and he's standing before the king, Agrippa. Agrippa says, it is permitted thee to speak for thyself. And this is part of what Paul says in reply to that. I just am impressed that God was able to take a man like Saul, Saul of Tarsus, and all that he had been up to in persecuting Christians, and turn him completely round. That's what conversion is all about. God speaks to a man, tells him to stop in what he's up to, and turns him round and uses him for his own, for God's work. And that's a marvellous thing. You read about what Paul was actually doing or Saul, perhaps we should call him here, shut up in prison. When they were put to death, I gave my vote. He admits to being fully in everything he possibly could to stamp out every trace of the name of my Saviour, Jesus. And he sounds as if he was pretty successful in it. You read in chapter 9 about Ananias, who's told to go and speak to Paul. And Ananias is quite clearly worried by the task he's given to do. Saul of Tarsus had such a terrible reputation. And yet, a man like that, God says, I can use him. I can use him. It's a great thing, isn't it? That God can take the most roughest, can we say, raw materials and make it something precious for himself. You think about the diamonds that are dug out of the earth. Big, big clumps of diamonds. Completely unpolished, dirty and so on. And yet under the hands of skillful men, they can be made into something absolutely brilliant. Far, far greater is what God can make out of you and me under his hand. Paul speaks about being exceedingly furious against them. I persecuted them, even to cities out of our own land. But there came a point when God said, enough. God allowed that man to go so far, but then said, no further, no further. And he, my blessed Saviour, appeared to that man on the Damascus Road in the way he couldn't ignore. You think about a light above the brightness of the sun. We're not talking about weak English sunshine. We're talking about sun in the Middle East. And Paul was used to that. But this was a light far, far brighter than anything he'd ever seen. In chapter 22, he speaks about the glory of that light. When we were all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against goads. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. That must have come pretty hard home to Paul. Whom thou persecutest. He could say, I can't persecute the Lord. He's in heaven. No, no. That's what the Lord said. Whom thou persecutest. He was persecuting the body of Christ here. But rise up and stand on thy feet. For this purpose have I appeared to thee, to appoint thee to be a servant and a witness both of what thou hast seen and of what I shall appear to thee in, taking thee out from among the people and the nations to whom I send thee, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and that they may receive remission of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. They may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. They may receive remission of sins and inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith in me. God had something in mind for Paul, a message for Paul to deliver. And it's the same message that's delivered in the preaching today. God has something in mind for you. He wants you to be saved from your sins, that the sense of guilt of what you've done can be removed. But he wants you to enjoy something too, an inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith in me. What a message. But then Paul's not the subject of the preaching. Paul's not the subject of the preaching. It's Jesus. I come back to my Galatian scripture. The faith of the Son of God, who has loved me and given himself for me. I couldn't help being impressed by the simplicity of those few words. There's no complicated words in that passage I've read at all. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And while the words are so simple that all of us can understand them, what it actually meant for Jesus was so profound, so deep. He loved me and he gave himself for me. You know, when Jesus came to this world, he'd counted the cost, what it actually was going to mean for him. Nothing took the Lord by surprise. He never turned aside. You read of him when he's at 12 years old. I've got to be about my father's business, he says. You read about him in Gethsemane. And after that tremendous struggle, he says, "Not my will, but thine be done." He knew exactly what it was going to cost him. And he was prepared to pay the price. You know, sometimes we go to buy something. Applies particularly at auctions. You go and you look for something. You have a chance to look at it. You're told how much the auctioneer's estimate is for it. And you're supposed to make up your mind how much you're prepared to pay in advance and not exceed that. So perhaps you go and the bidding starts and the bidding goes right above your limit. You're not prepared to pay. You go home without the thing that you went to buy. The glory of the gospel is that Jesus knew what the cost was going to be, and he was prepared to pay the price in full. For me, and so you can understand why Paul speaks about the Son of God who has loved me and given himself for me. He was prepared to pay the price. It involved going to Calvary. You think about that there he hung and bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We can understand a little of what it might be to actually be there, physically tortured on a tree, hanging there with nails through our hands and our feet. We can imagine that a little bit. But we cannot imagine at all the way that he actually bore the wrath of God for my sins. 3 hours of darkness when that work was completed. Every sin covered. You think of the way that men have done things to other people. There have been people who have responsible for terrible deeds right down through history. I read about an obituary of someone. He was the top of the Sicilian mafia. Horrible man. Got to his position by just removing all the opposition. By execution. The Italian authorities attempted to deal with him. The judiciary, this terrible man, shot two of them just as a warning, don't muck around with me. Eventually he was captured. He died in prison. But I think of that man standing before the great white throne. The book's opened, all the records there. There'll not be a single fact that he's got any grounds for arguing at all. there he stands condemned before a holy God. What outlook is there apart from the lake of fire for a terrible man like that? He had murdered, they say, probably several hundred people in the course of his life. You think of others, terrible people that have led to the deaths of millions and millions of people. Terrible things that have been done in the course of history. Those men all will have to stand before that great white throne, and they'll have no case to answer. What can they say in the face of all the evidence? They've lost the opportunity that you and I have in the gospel of taking advantage of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, which cleanses from every sin. Lovely fact, dear friend, that the blood of Jesus is available for you. But you've got to take advantage of that offer now. The opportunity is yours now. You can confess before God that you're a sinner, that you need a saviour, and put your faith in what Jesus has done. And you'll find something of what Paul was given by way of a message. Repentance from sins, an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Well, what a lovely thing it is. God is offering you these things in the glad tidings today. It's available for whosoever will, but it comes down to you and me as an individual to take advantage of God's offer. Most of us have sat in meeting rooms like this, or in churches or chapels. We've heard God speaking in the gospel. We realized that God was speaking to me. We felt uncomfortable about it, but we turned the message aside, quickly thought about other things. Don't do it again today, dear friend. Take advantage of the love of Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me, and find peace with God through accepting the work of Jesus. What a wonderful thing that is, if you'll only take advantage of the offer today, an opportunity that may never occur again. Who knows? You say, I've heard that so often. Absolutely true. I'm sure we've heard it a lot of times, but one time it will be absolutely true. For someone, it may be absolutely true tonight. Who knows? God alone knows. Put your trust in Jesus and find the peace with God through accepting the work of Jesus on Calvary. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, for his name's sake. Amen.